I would like to call to order the September 7th, 2022 Technical Advisory Committee meeting. Staff, please call the roll so we can establish a quorum.
Yes, Madam Chair. And I did just want to let the full committee know that our microphones have been a little finicky, so you may need to double tap to turn on your microphone. But once you see the red light, it will be on. At this time, I'm only asking those TAC members attending in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. I want to remind you to unmute your microphones by pushing the button, this time twice, on the base prior to responding. Alternates, please also state your name if you are attending on behalf of a TAC representative. Jim Bell. Naresh Makavarapu.
Here, Jim Bell here.
Thank you, Jim. And we will attend to you once we get to virtual attendees.
Here.
Thank you. Gary Dunmeyer, Cynthia Fuentes, okay, Kenny Wilson,
here,
thank you, Thomas Hernandez,
here,
Roberto Treviso, here. Jamie Brown,
here,
thank you,
I'm tapping, I'm holding,
thank you. Natalie Crowley.
Here.
Thank you. Kim Glass Castro. Gary Sipek.
Will Hicks for Gary Sipek.
Brian Davis.
Here.
Levi McCollum. Aaron Hoffman.
Here.
Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Christopher Marsh.
I'm here.
Thank you. Joyce Kai. Lorraine Cargill. Kim Delaney.
Here.
Michael O'Dell.
Here.
John Paul O'Connor.
Hold on.
Here.
Thank you. Alex Hansen.
Here.
Javier Falcone.
Here.
John Crane.
Marsha Taylor, our alternate for John Crane.
Thank you. Motosoma Alturk.
Melissa Acker here from Alturk.
Kara Ferris.
Here.
Thank you. Yeah. And we do have a quorum.
Okay. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. Jim Bell is requesting TAC permission to participate remotely due to ongoing medical issues.
TAC members, are there any objections to allowing this member to participate remotely? Seeing or hearing none, these minutes are approved. This member is approved to participate remotely. Amanda, please note the attendance in the meeting minutes.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Next are the motion to approve the minutes for July 6, 2022. Are there any changes to the minutes? If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So move.
Second.
I have a motion by Jamie Brown and a second by Aaron Hoffman. Any discussion? Oh, it was you? Oh, sorry.
I can't see you. Yeah.
Wait, did you do the first? Oh. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, thank you. I have a motion by Alex and a second by Aaron. Any discussion? Seeing or hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Okay, thank you. Instructions on how to provide public comments are included in the agenda. Staff, have any general comments been received?
None at this time, Madam Chair, but I would like to note for the record that Kim Glass Castro has joined us.
Thank you. Okay. I don't have any comments today. At this time, I want to invite any TAC members' comments on items not already on the agenda. For members participating remotely, please utilize the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. And then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. Don't see any cards raised in house. Next is the TAC liaison report. I'd like to invite Andrew to provide an update.
Morning, everyone. Our first update is Brian Ruscher is now our deputy director of multimodal team. He's with us right now behind us. And then also we have Valentina Fakus, who's also under Brian's team on the multimodal side, and she's the new pedestrian bicycle coordinator. She's originally a planner on our staff. Next is we'd like to congratulate the town of Juno Beach for adopting a Vision Zero resolution on August 24th. We have a lot of cities who are also adding to that in the past few years, and there's a few more on the way. So just want to congratulate the town of Juno Beach on that one. You can get more information about those on palmbeachtpa.org/safety. Brightline was awarded a raise grant of $25 million to go towards safety improvements on the FEC. I believe this was an FDOT and FEC and Brightline collaboration, and it's going to fund safety improvements from Miami-Dade all the way to Brevard. So hundreds of crossings in that includes pavement markings, landscaping, fencing, and more signage. There's more information on this at the fdot.gov/info/newsroom. There's a resurfacing project, a public meeting for Connors Highway from First Street to State Road 80. This is that section out west from 20 Mile Bend all the way to Canal Point, a very large, lengthy section. Includes resurfacing, safety deficiencies, guardrail improvements, some other upgrades. They already had their virtual public meeting, but they have one that in person is going to take place tomorrow, September 8th at 6 p.m. at the City of Pahokee Recreation Complex. Next is an event that the TPA is hosting called Parking Day. You can join us to celebrate on September 16th. It's a global event that encourages repurposing parking spaces into other uses. And I believe we're doing some stuff here as well at the TPA, but you can find out more information at myparkingday.org. Next is the state, the Blakeworth Road project that is a resurfacing project from Rollerson Drive to the college entrance, their Palm Beach State College entrance. This is a open house, has been delayed, and also the construction. Just an update for you all. Part of it was delayed due to some issues trying to get the certain type of materials for ductile iron sewer pipes. So they're working through that right now, and they're going to have a revised construction begin date and a rescheduled open house later on when they figure out what to do about that. You get more information on the D4 website for FDOT. The I-95 at Glades Road Divergent Diamond Interchange is opening soon. The Clint Moore Road Bridge over I-95 is set to reopen on September 30th. Full opening is scheduled to occur in November. So they're going to be diverting from the current design to the full traffic, new traffic formation in November. And so you get more information on that website. Also going to the D4 products page at d4fdot.com. And there's a new SFRTA executive director, David Deck, is the new director there. Previously served as the vice president of rail operations for CAP Metro. I believe that's Austin. That's Austin, right. So excited to have him on board. He comes with a lot of experience, and look forward to having him as the executive director of SFRTA. Last two for you. Reminder that the Reconnecting Communities Grant, one of those federal grants that are out there, the deadline is approaching October 13th. You get more information on their grant websites. And then lastly, our next governing board meeting is on September 15th. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison report? Okay, moving forward to action items. The first is the motion to recommend adoption of amendment number one to the TPA's fiscal year FY23 through 27 transportation improvement program. I'd like to invite Jason Price, TPA TIP coordinator, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. So today, I'm going to present to you the Amendment 1 to the Transportation Improvement Program for fiscal year 23 through 27. This is always the first amendment that happens to each transportation improvement program we approve each year. This is a request by FDOT to advance funds from the previous year, from the previous TIP to this current TIP that we'll be operating under in the future. In addition, there's two modifications to two projects that have length changes that will also be incorporated into this action item. And as a result, this is an action item that requires a vote at the end of the presentation and the discussion. So just to further describe what the roll forward is, FDOT each year, the first amendment of each TIP of each transportation improvement program is to advance or roll forward obligated funds from the previous TIP from 22 to 26 and roll them forward into the recently adopted TIP in 23. And there's a total of about 67 projects with about $114 million that will be rolled forward, which is existing funds from the previous TIP, and they're obligated funds that have already existed on the project, but they're just being advanced to the next TIP. So it's not anything, it's not new funds, it's just existing funds that are being advanced forward to be in the TIP that we'll be operating under starting in October. And because there's a number of projects changing, advancing funds, that warrants an amendment, and that is one of the reasons why this is being brought forward to you, is because there's cost increases beyond 20%, and that's one of the requirements for an amendment. So that's what triggered this action, this as an action item that needs to come before you today. And as always, only the projects listed in the roll forward report that's included in the backup are impacted by this particular amendment. There's plenty of other projects in the TIP document, but none of those are impacted by this action, only the projects that are listed. And I'll cover a couple of the larger roll forward projects in the next few slides. Now, with the $114 million that's being rolled forward from the previous TIP to the recently adopted TIP, I broke it down for the TPA priorities. In terms of that $114 million, about $79 million or $80 million of it, which is the lion's share of it, is in state road modifications. And we'll see that in the next couple of slides, followed by a couple of other ones, railroads and CIS capacity for $16 million and $11 million that make up the bulk of the roll forward funds in projects that are in those particular sections. So as a quick snapshot, these are the top projects with the most amount being rolled forward. So when you look at the slide here from left to right in terms of the financial columns, the current TIP is what we're operating under currently in 2023 with this roll forward amount. This amount will be incorporated into this current TIP, and then the new TIP 23 will be the amount that will be reflected. So it's existing funds from the previous TIP being rolled forward into this one, and that's what you see as the final column. And there's a few top ranked projects here, the State Route 7 project, Boca Raton Passenger Rail Station, and military Trail at Forest Hill Boulevard. In addition to the roll forward amounts that are being rolled forward, there's two projects that had length changes, and one was Atlantic Avenue at Lyons Road, and the other one was Beeline Highway from Martin County Line to Old Dixie Highway. These length changes happen when project managers, it could have been an oversight, or it could be a refinement of the project, like you see for Beeline Highway. That's kind of an ITS intersection type of project where they're coordinating signals. And so it went from 23 to 1 mile because they kind of refined the scope of the project and figured out that they only wanted to focus on specific sections. I could probably get more information from FDOT if you guys want at the end of the presentation. And the same for Atlantic Avenue. It could have been an administrative error of sorts, but this is the information that I received that requires an amendment because there's length changes over a half mile. With that concludes the presentation on the roll forward amounts and the two project with length changes, and I'll take any questions at this time.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on this item, staff?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay. I see Alex.
Yes.
Couple of, I guess, procedural questions on the roll forward. Is it possible to do the roll forward when the TIP, when the new TIP is actually approved or adopted? I mean, we adopted the TIP, what, 3 months ago, give or take? I think it was June. So 3 months ago. Is it possible to do the roll forward then as part of that process? So we don't have to, let's say, do this twice. We adopt the TIP and then we do the roll forward. That's one procedural question. The second one, is it possible to, is it, do the, does the roll forward always have to be into year one of the new TIP? I'm asking because some of these projects, the monies may not be spent on year one. They may be spent on year two or three. So then next year, we may have to roll forward again some of these monies. I'm thinking even the Stereo 7 project. I mean, there's 58 million and 20 million. That money is not going to be spent this fiscal year, which, again, already started 2 months ago, started in July. So these monies are not going to be spent by June of 2023. So we're going to go through this process again of rolling forward. So I'm trying to understand, is it, does it have to be for year one, or could it be for year two or three? In general, conceptually, I'm curious about that. A final question, the Beeline Highway project, I mean, to go from 23.6 miles to 1.6 miles seems, and I guess the reduction was, I'm trying to say, $155 million. That seems just more than just a minor oversight so I don't know if Marcia can provide some additional information on that, on what happened with that project, because also we adopted it, what, 3 months ago in June. So at the time, I guess the expectation was that it was still going to be 23.6 million. So I don't know what happened. I would like to find out a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know if you have any feedback on those other questions too.
Yeah, let me start with the first question. So the roll forward is the first amendment that happens after you adopt the TIP in June. So when you adopt the TIP in June, you don't effectively start operating under it until October, the federal fiscal year. So there's a gap between this. Yeah. So you adopted in June, but when we have formally adopted in June, it doesn't actually take effect. There's a state fiscal year and there's a federal fiscal year. There's a gap in between the state fiscal year and the federal fiscal year, and that's between the adoption in June and October when the federal fiscal year begins. So there's a bit of a gap there. A lot of the funds in the TIP are federally funded and federally driven, and so that gap creates a little bit of a gap in between the fiscal years. The roll forward acts as a mechanism to advance funds that are currently on a project in the TIP that we're operating under, but we're still adopting a future TIP that we're going to adopt, that we're going to start operating under in October. So to carry those funds forward, it takes a little bit of time for them to adopt it, figure out how much they're going to spend, kind of like do some accounting work to say, this is the remaining funds that we're not going to spend on these projects in this particular fiscal year in this TIP document, and we need to roll these funds forward to the next TIP in the next year, when, so we can continue to use those funds. And this is the effort to make it seamless, is to roll forward these funds before October to continue to use those funds. I think that's generally what's happening with the roll forward in terms of the continuity of funds that are obligated to a project to carry them forward between the TIP documents between 22 and 23. So hopefully that answers that one question.
Jason, I think we can follow up a little bit. I have something to say, and then I think Marcia probably has some insight on that, because there's a lot of FDOT procedures that go into certain windows when they can make edits to their work program. And when we make that TIP for you all in June, right, that you adopt, that's really going off a snapshot of the work program that the entire state uses. And that's from April. So we're already set in that specific work program because we all have to be consistent statewide when they approve it at the state level. So that's why we all have it all at the same time. So what you're saying, that'd be a great idea if we were able to like somehow roll forward and do it all at one time, because it's obviously funds that are carrying over from the previous TIP. But there's some mechanisms in there where it seems difficult for AFTOT to be able to do that. I'm not sure if Marcia probably can expand.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, with the roll forward report, basically, as you know, we, as Jason explained, we have the fiscal years being different, the state and the federal fiscal year, and the state one ending in June, and the roll forward report comes out in July. Reason being, as the fiscal year has ended, that's the opportunity while our work program is going through the system, checking which projects have not yet been encumbered and committed. The funds haven't been committed to the projects as yet, as of the end of June. That's what happens in July, where we go through our system, check which projects haven't been committed as yet, and then generate this roll forward report and provide it to the TPA. Okay. Do you have further questions?
Question two was whether the roll forward has to be for year one of the next DIP, or could it be in which you move it into year two, three, depending upon the project? I mean,
as far as I know, it only makes sense because the project was committed in a previous fiscal year. It has to roll. So even if it's not committed in the next fiscal year, of course, we'd have to double check with the federal FHWA, but we'd have to see if it can continue to roll forward. But our aim is to get it committed as soon as possible, which would be the next following fiscal year. And also, we want to ensure projects remain in the TIP.
No, I understand. But if a project is rolling to year two or three of the TIP, they'll still be in the TIP. It's just that. I'm just saying, because in some instances we may be rolling forward some of the same projects next year, some of the same monies for some of these projects. So just to prevent that, I think in some instances it may make more sense to do it in year two, three, or whatever it is estimated where the money is actually going to be spent, instead of just automatically, because all of them are now just moved for this fiscal year. And I would bet money that 12 months from now, we'll be rolling forward some of this again. So just to prevent that, I was just curious procedurally.
And you had a second question, I believe, about was Beeline?
Beeline Highway, yeah.
Okay, so for those two projects that are being added, the scope hasn't changed on the two projects. It was just that for Beeline specifically, originally when the project was, I guess, applied for, it was a longer length of Beeline Road. However, the amount of monies that was provided at the time, I believe the estimate was $2 million for construction. That would not have been able to complete the entire segment. And so after a study, it was determined that this specific area, which is the exact length is, right, that intersection was found to be most feasible to be completed. The intent is to complete the other sections. You'll have probably another two more segments, but at this time, that was the amount of money that was provided. And if anyone needs further clarification on the Atlantic Ave, that project erroneously, when it was being programmed in the system, the mileposts weren't indicated properly in the system. So there was only the segment on State Road 806 that was entered into the system, but it didn't include some of the portions in State Road 7. So when the project manager was doing the TIP review, when it was provided to us, he identified that there was some mileposts missing.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. I do not see any other cards raised, any hands raised in Zoom? Yep.
Oh, I'm Natalie. Sorry, Madam Chair. There is a public comment that just came up.
Okay, we'll go with Natalie first, and then we'll go to the public comment.
Perfect, thank you.
Sure. Just also continuing on the Beeline discussion, is there any graphics that you might be able to share? Because other than the change that you're describing in a narrative format in the letter, it's hard for me to visualize what the change is. I'm particularly interested to know, and I don't think it is, but I'm particularly interested to know if anything at the interchange of Northlake and Beeline is being impacted by this change. Could you confirm that?
At this time, I can't confirm. I will check with the project manager and see if I can provide the TPA staff with the information and these graphics so that they can give to you.
Okay, thank you. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
And if there's any other graphics which illustrate the intersection improvements, from what I understand, as Jason described it, that are basically being the central focus, and which is why there was such a substantial reduction in the scope and the funds, it would be helpful to illustrate that.
We'll provide.
And maybe in the future, I don't know how the other TAC members feel, but if such a change in the TIP ever comes up like this, it would be helpful to have a few more graphics so that we could better understand what this is, because yeah. I think some of us are confused.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Public comment?
Good morning, Kashyap Mohideen with Palm Beach County Planning Division. I didn't understand the length of it, Atlantic Avenue project. It is changing from 1 mile to 2.296 mile, which puts it from State Road 7 to east of Turnpike, which is fine, but then change the title under the proposed TIP, where it says Atlantic Avenue from State Road 7 to west of Lyons. That part is only about 1 mile, which was previously in the existing TIP. So I just didn't understand why this change of length. If you're going to change the length, then the title would probably need to change too. Am I correct? Can DOT comment or somebody? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Good morning again. I believe it's my understanding the scope already had these locations included. I believe it's, sorry, I don't have an illustration to provide, but they're originally what was programmed in the system erroneously only had to the east of State Road 7 on State Road 806. And again, when we were provided the TIP for review, it was identified that sections of the project limits was not included. Therefore, project manager advised that it's supposed to include north and south of State Road 806 on State Road 7, as well as west of State Road 7, a portion of State Road 7. Once again, if I need to, I can provide graphics to our TPA staff.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion to recommend adoption of amendment number one to the TPA's fiscal year FY23-27 transportation improvement program.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Hearing no or seeing no cards up, no further discussion. Oh, sorry, Alex, please.
I just want to indicate that I'm going to vote no on this because there's...
Mr. Hansen, can you please turn on your microphone? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just want to put it on the record that I'm going to be voting no on this amendment to the TIP because it includes two projects for State Road 7, which the City of West Palm Beach opposes.
Okay, thank you. Javier, good morning.
Thank you for the reminder.
Okay, so Amanda, do you want to go through and do the roll call? I have a motion by Michael O'Dell and a second by Christopher Marsh. All, and we'll do it through the roll call.
Yes, absolutely. Jim Bell?
Yes.
Naresh?
Yes.
Gary Dunmire?
No, in support of City of West Palm Beach.
Okay. Kenny Wilson?
Yes.
Thomas Hernandez?
Yes.
Roberto Treviso?
Yes.
Jamie Brown?
Yes.
Natalie Crowley?
Yes.
Kim Glass Castro?
Yes.
Gary Sipek?
Yes.
Thank you. Brian Davis?
Yes.
Levi McCollum is absent. Aaron Hoffman?
Yes.
Terrence Bailey?
Yes.
Yes.
Christopher Marsh?
Yes.
Joyce Kai is absent. Lorraine Cargill is absent. Kim Delaney?
Yes.
Michael Odell?
Yes.
John Paul O'Connor?
Yes.
Alex Hansen?
No.
Thank you. Javier Falcone?
No.
Melissa Ackhart, Mo Turk?
Yes.
Kara Ferris?
Yes.
This does pass, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, motion to recommend approval of FY 2023 through 2024 Unified Planning Work Program. Revision number one amendment. I'd like to invite Matthew, the TPA Chief Financial Officer, to present this item.
Good morning. Yes, the microphones do require just a little bit of patience, but we get there. And I'm going to tell you, we're in a different scale with this amendment than what you just talked about entirely. This is our operational budget here at the agency. Very different scale. Our UPWP, or Unified Planning Work Program, this is our business plan, our application for federal grant funding, and we use it for our contracts as how we perform the services and these planning documents. It covers a period of July 1st of 2022, so it's just a couple months old, through June 30th of 2024. And it really tells what we're going to do, who's going to do that, when we'll accomplish it, and how much that will ultimately cost to do. We have a few changes that we need to make based on activities from the last cycle. We had a building access security system we had planned for and prepared for to be installed hopefully by the end of June. We didn't quite make that. There were some permitting delays and miscommunications. So that installation will occur after we make this amendment. And we re-add it to this new cycle in order to accomplish the funding necessary to do that. It's in our task 7, administer the agency. So we had to add funds there. We had to decrease some of the funds in our task 1 for public engagement. We still have sufficient funding to do all of our plans, but that's how we balance that addition. So both we added the funding to do it and the activity itself. In addition, with some new guidance from FDOT and how we manage our UPWP, we needed additional detail for a travel event that's coming up, specifically for a peer exchange, or identified as a special activity that should be reflected in the document itself. We'll be doing a peer exchange at CAP Metro in Austin that's actually occurring the end of this month. They've been identified as a similar city in region and makeup, and we'll be sending board members and some other staff from county, from PalmTran, and other major transportation decision makers to get a feel for how we can move forward in this region. So it's really just adding a sentence here. In addition, it was identified that we included some extra funds that we can't add yet. So in the graphic, I show the top is our last budget cycle. And as we go through that process and plan for the next one, as you're all aware of budget cycles, we made some estimates of what would be left as we move into the new cycle. And normally I take out that estimate, and I know that I would re-add it. I didn't take it out. So we have an extra $200,000 in the current document. We have to formally close out last fiscal year and the last UPWP cycle, which will be done soon, and then we'll re-add it later when we know the exact dollar amount. So in order to be compliant and do that correctly, we have to remove those funds now. In the spring, we'll re-add them. They only affect next fiscal year. And just to give you that gauge, we use a 2-year budget cycle. So that's why this is a little bit unique in that sense. So they show up again in fiscal year 24 when we need them. But for right now, we had to make that change. And the amount is a reduction of $210,000. And an additional change that we are seeking to change to make is our local funds that we are very careful with and how we can administer this agency the best possible. With a lot of staffing changes, it's been identified as important to focus on some staff performance issues, some additional training and instruction. And some of that is very difficult to handle through federal dollars because of the number of obligations, strings, reporting, and compliance. And that translates to we want to use some of our local funds to accomplish those efforts and additional training. And that will cause us, we have funds that we put to a reserve at the end of each year. We have less that will go to the reserve at the end of the year. So it's a change of $10,000 to accomplish that effort this fall and coming spring. And we're seeking a motion to recommend adoption to the TPA's fiscal year 23-24 UPWB amendment number one.
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Make a motion to approve. Second.
Okay, let's see any requests for further discussion. I have a motion by Aaron Hoffman and a second by Michael Odell. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda are informational items. There are no informational items on this agenda today. For administrative items, items 4A through 4D are informational only. There will be no staff presentation unless requested by a committee member. Seeing none, staff, are there any public comments on any of these items?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, our next TAC meeting is scheduled for October 4th, 2022. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Have a nice day.